The History of Lebanon. Before I begin too far, I'd like to make an apology that I do not speak Arabic, nor Greek, nor Hebrew. So many of the names I may speak in here may not be the correct pronunciation, but I will do the best I can. The History of Lebanon. The history of Lebanon is almost as old as the earliest evidence of humankind. Its geographic position as a crossroad linking the Mediterranean basin with the great Asian hinterland has conferred on it as a cosmopolitan character and a multicultural legacy. At different periods of its history, Lebanon has come under the domination of foreign rulers, including Assyrians, Babylonians, Armenians, Persians, Greeks, Romans, Arabs, Ottomans, and French. Although often conquered, the Lebanese take pride in their rebellions against despotic and repressive rulers. Moreover, despite foreign domination, Lebanon's mountainous terrain has provided it with a certain protective isolation, enabling it to survive with an identity all its own. Its proximity to the sea has ensured that throughout its history, Lebanon has held an important position as a trading center. This tradition of commerce began with the Phoenicians and continued through many centuries, remaining almost unaffected by foreign rule and the worst periods of internal strife. The history of Lebanon is filled with a robust, multicultural intermixing of Western and Middle Eastern societies. This vibrant country is filled with many ethnicities and religions. The rich diversity is personified by many distinct ethnic religious communities coexisting within the small nation. Ancient history of Lebanon. The earliest known settlements in Lebanon date back to earlier than 5000 BC. Archaeologists have discovered in Byblos, which is believed to be the oldest continuously inhabited city in the world, remnants of prehistoric huts with crushed limestone floors, primitive weapons, and burial jars, which are evidence of the Neolithic and Chalcolithic fishing communities who lived on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea over 7,000 years ago. Phoenicia. The coastal plain of Lebanon is the historic zone of a string of coastal trading cities of Semitic culture, which the Greeks termed Phoenicia, whose maritime culture flourished there for more than 2,000 years. 255 ancient ruins in Byblos, Berytus, which is Beirut, Sidon, Sarepta, and Tyre show a civilized nation with urban centers and sophisticated arts. Present in Lebanon was a cosmopolitan center for many nations and cultures. Its people roamed the Mediterranean seas, skilled in trade and in art, and founding many trading colonies. There was also the creators of the oldest known 24-letter alphabet, a shortening of earlier 30-letter alphabets such as Proto-Sinaitic and Ugaritic. The ancient Lebanese set for sail and colonized overseas. Their famous colonies were Cadiz in today's Spain and Carthage in today's Tunisia. Phoenicia maintained an uneasy tributary relationship with the Neo-Assyrian and Neo-Babylonian empires. It was conquered outright by the Achaemenid dynasty of Persia, which organized it as a satrapy. It was added to the empire of Alexander the Great, who notably conquered Tyre, 332 BCE, by extending a still extant causeway from the mainland in a seven-month effort. It fell to the Seleucid Empire after Alexander's death. The area was conquered by the Roman Empire in the first century and remained Roman until the advent of the Caliphate. Christianity was introduced to Phoenicia from neighboring Galilee soon after the time of Jesus of Nazareth. The Arab advances brought Islam soon after the death of Muhammad. Muslim influence increased greatly in the 7th century when the Umayyad capital was established at nearby Damascus. Arab rule and the Middle Ages. During the Middle Ages, Lebanon was heavily involved in the Crusades. Lebanon was the main path of the First Crusade's advance on Jerusalem. Later, Frankish nobles occupied present-day Lebanon as part of the southeastern Crusader states. The southern half of present-day Lebanon formed the northern march of the Kingdom of Jerusalem, and the northern half was the heartland of the county of Tripoli. Although Saladin eliminated Christian control of the Holy Land around 1190, the Crusader state in Lebanon and Syria was better defended. Muslim control of Lebanon was reestablished in the late 13th century under the Mamluk sultans of Egypt. Lebanon was later contested between Muslim rulers until the Ottoman Empire solidified authority over the eastern Mediterranean. Ottoman control was uncontested during the early modern period, but the Lebanese coast became important for its contacts and trades with Venice and other Italian city-states. The mountainous territories of Mount Lebanon has long been a shelter for minority and persecuted groups, including its historic Maronite Christian majority, along with Druze and local Shia Muslims. It was an autonomous Maronite region of the Ottoman Empire. Ottoman rule. The Ottoman Turks formed an empire starting from the 14th century from which it came to encompass the Balkans, Middle East, and North Africa. The Ottoman Sultan, Selim I, from 1516 through 20, after defeating the Persians, conquered the Mamluks. His troops invading Syria destroyed Mamluk resistance in 1516 at Mark Dabak, north of Aleppo. During the conflict between the Mamluks and the Ottomans, the emirs of Lebanon linked their fate to that of the Ghazali, Governor Pasha of Damascus. He won the confidence of the Ottomans by fighting on their side at Marj Darak, and apparently pleased with the behavior of the Lebanese emirs, introduced them to Selim I when he entered Damascus. Selim I, moved by the eloquence of the Lebanese ruler Amir Fakhr ad-Din I, 1516-44, decided to grant the Lebanese emirs a semi-autonomous status. The Ottomans, through two great Druze feudal families, the Mans and the Shi'abs, ruled Lebanon until the middle of the 19th century. It was during Ottoman rule that the terms Greater Syria was coined to designate the approximate area included in present-day Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and Israel. The Mans, 1120-1697. The Mon family, under orders from the governor of Damascus, came to Lebanon in 1120, won against the invading crusaders. They settled on the southwestern slopes of the Lebanon mountains and soon adopted the Druze religion. Their authority began to rise with Fakhr ad-Din I, who permitted by Ottoman authorities to organize his own army, and reached its peak with Fakhr ad-Din II, 1570-1635. Although Fakhr ad-Din II's aspirations towards complete independence for Lebanon ended tragically, he greatly enhanced Lebanon's military and economic development. Noted for religious tolerance, Fakhr ad-Din attempted to merge the country's different religious groups into one Lebanese community. In an effort to attain complete independence for Lebanon, he concluded a secret agreement with Ferdinand I, Duke of Tuscany in Italy, the two parties pledging to support each other against the Ottomans. Informed of this agreement, the Ottoman ruler in Constantinople, reacted violently and ordered Ahmad al-Hazviz, governor of Damascus, to attack Fakhr ad-Din. Realizing his inability to cope with the regular army of al-Hafiz, the Lebanon ruler went to Tuscany in exile in 1613. He returned to Lebanon in 1618 after his good friend Muhammad Pasha became governor of Damascus. Following his return from Tuscany, Fakhr ad-Din, realizing the need for a strong and disciplined armed force, channeled his financial resources into building a regular army. This army proved itself in 1623 when Mustafa Pasha, the new governor of Damascus, underestimating the capabilities of the Lebanese army, engaged it in battle and was decisively defeated at Anjar in the Biqua Valley. Impressed by the victory of the Lebanese ruler, the Sultan of Constantinople gave him the title of Sultan al-Bahr, Sultan of Land. In addition to building up the army, Fakhr ad-Din Vacra, Adin, possibly, who became acquainted with Italian culture during his stay in Tuscany, initiated measures to modernize the country. After forming close ties with the Dukes of Tuscany and Florence and establishing diplomatic relationships with them, he brought in architects, irrigation engineers, and agricultural experts from Italy in an effort to promote prosperity in the country. He also strengthened Lebanon's strategic position by expanding its territory, building forts as far away as Palmyra in Syria, and gaining control of Palestine. Finally, the Ottoman Sultan Murad VI of Constantinople, wanting to thwart Lebanon's progress towards complete independence, ordered Kutchuk, then governor of Damascus, to attack the Lebanese ruler. This time, Fakhra ad-Din was defeated, and he was executed in Constantinople in 1635. No significant Mon ruler succeeded Fakhra ad-Din II. The Shinahabs, 1697 through 1842. The Shinahabs, initially the Shinab family, belonged to Sunni Islam and converted to Christianity at the end of the 18th century, succeeded the Mons in 1697. They originally lived in the Haran region of southwestern Syria and settled in Wadi At-Taim in southern Lebanon. The most prominent among them was Bashir Shihab II, who was much like his predecessor, Fakhra ad-Din II. His ability as a statesman was first tested in 1799 when Napoleon besieged Acre, a well-fortified coastal city in Palestine, about 40 kilometers south of Tyre. Both Napoleon and Algiers, the governor of Acre, requested assistance from the Shihab leader. Bashir, however, remained neutral, declining to assist either combatant. Unable to conquer Acre, Napoleon returned to Egypt, and the death of Algiers in 1804 removed Bashir's principal opponent in the area. 19th century. During the 19th century, the town of Beirut became the most important port of the regional supplanting Acre further to the south. This was mostly because Mount Lebanon became a center of silk production for export to Europe. This industry made the region wealthy, but also dependent on links to Europe. Since most of the silk went to Marseille, the French began to have a great impact in the region. The rise and fall of Emir Bashir II. In 1788, Bashir Shihab II, sometimes spelled B-A-C-H-I-R in French sources, would rise to become the emir. Born into poverty, he was elected emir upon the abdication of his predecessor and would rule over Ottoman suzerainty, being appointed wali, or governor, of Mount Lebanon, the Bika Valley, and Jabal Amil. Together, this is about two-thirds of modern-day Lebanon. He would reform taxes and attempt to break the feudal system in order to undercut rivals, the most important of which was also named Bashir Jumblat, whose wealth and feudal backers equaled or exceeded Bashir's II, and who had increased support in the Druze community. In 1822, the Ottoman Wali of Damascus went to war with Acre, which was allied with Muhammad Ali, the Pasha of Egypt. As part of this conflict, one of the most remembered massacres of Maronite Christians by Druze forces occurred, forces that were aligned with the Wali of Damascus. Jumblat represented the increasingly disaffected Druze, who were both shut out from official power and angered at the growing ties with the Maronites by Bashir II, who was himself a Maronite Christian. Bashir II was overthrown as Wali when he backed Acre and fled to Egypt, later returned and organized an army. Jumblat gathered the Druze factions together, and the war became sectarian in nature, the Maronites backing Bashir II, the Druze backing Bashir Jumblat. Jumblat declared a rebellion, and between 1821 and 1825, there were massacres and battles, with the Maronites attempting to gain control of Mount Lebanon district, and the Druze gaining control over the Bika Valley. In 1825, Bashir II defeated his rival and killed him after the Battle of Al-Simqaniyah. Bashir II was not a forgiving man and repressed the Druze, particularly in and around Beirut. Bashir II, who had come to be to power through local politics and nearly fallen from power because of his increasing detachment from them, reached out for allies, allies who looked on the entire area as the Orient, who would provide trade, weapon, and money, without requiring fealty, and without it, it seemed, being drawn into endless internal squabbles. He disarmed the Druze and allied with France, governing in the name of the Egyptian Pasha, Muhammad Ali, who entered Lebanon and formally took overlordship in 1832. For the remaining 8 years, the sectarian and feudal rifts of 1821 through 1825 conflicts were heightened by increasing economic isolation of the Druze and the increasing wealth of the Maronites. Sectarian conflict. European powers begin to intervene. The discontent grew to open rebellion. Fed by Ottoman and British money and support, Bashir II fled, and the Ottoman Empire reasserted control, and Mehmed Husrev Pasha, whose sole term as Grand Vizier ran from 1839 to 1841, appointed another member of the Shihab family, who styled himself Bashir III. Bashir III, coming on the heels of a man who, by guile, force, and diplomacy, had dominated Mount Lebanon and the Bikwa for 52 years, did not last long. In 1841, conflicts between the impoverished Druze and Maronite Christians exploded. There was a massacre of Christians by the Druze at Deir al-Qamar, and the fleeing survivors were slaughtered by Ottoman regulars. The Ottomans attempted to create peace by dividing Mount Lebanon into a Christian district and a Druze district, but this would merely create geographical power bases for the warring parties, and it plunged the region back into civil conflict, which included not only the sectarian warfare, but a Maronite revolt against the feudal class, which ended in 1858 with the overthrow of the old feudal system of taxes and levies. The situation was unstable. The Maronites lived in large towns, but these were often surrounded by Druze villages living as parroquiae. In 1860, this would boil back into full-scale sectarian war, when the Maronites began openly opposing the power of the Ottoman Empire. The Druze took advantage of this and began burning Maronite villages. The long siege of Deir al-Qamar found a Maronite garrison holding out against Druze forces backed by Ottoman soldiers. The area in every direction was despoiled by the besiegers. In July of 1860, with European intervention threatening, the Turkish government tried to quiet the strife, but Napoleon III of France sent 7,000 troops to Beirut and helped impose a partition. The Druze control of the territory was recognized as a fact on the ground, and the Maronites were forced into an enclave arrangement ratified by the Concert of Europe in 1861. They were confined to a mountainous district, cut off both the Bikwa and Beirut, and faced the prospect of ever-growing poverty. Resentment and fears would brood, ones which would resurface in the coming decades. Another destabilizing factor was France's support for the Maronite Christians against the Druze, which in turn led the British back to the Druze, exasperating religious and economic tensions between the two communities. In 1859 through 60, violence erupted between the Maronites and the Druze. The Druze had grown increasingly resentful of the favoring of the Maronites by Bashir II, and were backed by the Ottoman Empire and the Wali of Damascus in an attempt to gain greater control over Lebanon. The Maronites had backed by the French out of both economic and political expediency. The Druze began a military campaign that included the burning of villages and massacres, while Maronite irregulars retaliated with attacks of their own. However, the Maronites were gradually pushed into a few strongholds, were on the verge of military defeat when the Congress of Europe intervened and established a commission to determine the outcome. The French forces deployed there were then used to enforce the final decision. The French accepted the Druze as having established control, and the Maronites were reduced to a semi-autonomous region around Mount Lebanon, without even direct control over Beirut itself, the province of Lebanon that would be controlled by the Maronites, but the entire area was placed under direct control of the governor of Damascus and carefully watched by the Ottoman Empire. If I'm not mistaken, that's kind of the same paragraph repeated twice there. Side note. Rising prosperity and peace. The remainder of the 19th century saw a relative period of stability as Islamic, Druze, and Maronite groups focused on economic and cultural development, which saw the founding of the American University of Beirut and flowering of literary and political activity associated with the attempts to liberalize the Ottoman Empire. Late in the century, there was a short Druze uprising over the extremely harsh government and high taxation rates, but there were far less of the violence that had scalded the area earlier in the century. In the approach to World War I, Beirut became a center of various reforming movements and would send delegates to the Arab-Syrian Conference and Franco-Syrian Conference held in Paris. There was a complex array of solutions from pan-Arab nationalism to separatism for Beirut, and several status quo movements that sought stability and reform within the context of Ottoman government. The Young Turk Revolution brought these movements to the front, hoping that the reform of the Ottoman Empire would lead to broader reforms. The outbreak of hostilities changed this, as Lebanon was to feel the weight of the conflict in the Middle East more heavily than most other areas.